Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much. There you are. Thank you very much for that, Mary. From Riyadh, this is indeed The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, April the 25th, I guess it is, I think. April the 25th, not April. What am I saying here? Thursday, June. Boy, I typed that one wrong. June the 25th. There you go. June the 25th, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening out there in the United States and Canada, and a good early morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. It's been a long day for yours truly, as I've been on the road literally pretty much all day today. I was out in the eastern provinces in a place called Khobar in Dammam. Been there the last couple of days, quite honestly. And so although, you know, it was just hot. Like I say, we were out there. It was very humid. But anyways, it was just a long day. What can I say? Meetings out there, a lot of interesting comments, listening to government officials. Obviously, we can't talk about too much of what we were saying and talking about, but yours truly got a few words in. They let the Amriki, that means Americans, speak a little bit, especially when it came down to the COVID-19 thing and what my views were and my conspiratorial views are. And I'll be honest, I'll tell you, you know, I bring it to the floor. What can I say? I think people get what I'm saying, though. I think people really understand. People are educated at these levels that we talk to. So, but a lot of questions about this COVID-19 scam, to say the least. And that includes even in Saudi Arabia. Kingdom here has started to loosen up a little bit. Domestic flights have actually started now. They've been going for a little bit, I think since June 1st, but the flight costs are very, very, very expensive. So having to go out to Dammam, we really didn't want to pay for the tickets. It's very expensive. So we drove. It's a 4.5-hour trip, something like that. And of course, many, many checkpoints along the way. And we came up to one particular checkpoint where my colleague wasn't wearing a a face mask. But fortunately, we were very close to our where we had to go. We mentioned who we needed to speak to and what the purpose of our visit was. And they basically said, okay, go ahead and go, but put your face mask on. So he was escaping a 1,000 Saudi riyal fine, which is about $270 or so, something like that. Temperatures out in Dammam were 103 degrees today, but 50% humidity. Not so bad yet. It will actually get a lot worse as the summer starts to drag on. Meanwhile, here in Riyadh, temperature hit a high of 108 degrees under sunny skies. Current temperature is 88 degrees at just after 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to be going down to something like that, to a low of 81 degrees in the hour before sunrise. You know, just to give you some more updates, what's really happening out here. Yesterday, I received a message from some former colleagues. We'll call them colleagues, I guess. Everybody's kind of like not working right now. And it basically said that all residents, absolutely all residents, that includes Saudi residents, and that means Saudi citizens, will now be refused entry into Saudi Arabia until the COVID-19 issue is completely disappeared, whenever that might actually be. Now, whether they're actually going to keep that in play or not, I don't know. But at this stage, there will be absolutely no more entries into Saudi Arabia until basically health officials say it's okay. Meanwhile, across the street from one of my offices, there's a stadium, a fairly older stadium, but there's a stadium. They use it mainly for playing football. It's not used so much now. They built some newer stadiums, but the stadium exists, and I've noticed the past 10 days or so long, very long lines of cars. And I'm thinking, I bet you that's a COVID-19 testing facility. And I did ask about it this week, and they told me, I think Monday it was, that yes, indeed, that was a testing facility. So they've been really ramping up the tests here. I can confirm that they were very well booked up. I mean, we were talking about very long lines of cars, probably mile and a half deep when you break it all down. So they were testing. It wasn't just no cars. And they have been coming up with a lot of people who are turning up positive. And that's discerning to those, or disconcerting, I should say, to the medical people. Meanwhile, one of my colleagues was out for about 14 days. He was on a quarantine. He was not feeling well, came down with flu-like symptoms. He went and had himself tested. He came back negative. So that was a good thing. But nonetheless, you know, people are still like talking to one of the government officials here today, a senior level guy. And he said, you know, a lot of us think this is a scam. A lot of us think it's not quite what it's made out to be. They do know doctors, and the doctors are saying, yeah, there's something here that's causing problems, but not to the degree to which the government, or at least the health ministry, is making it out to be. And everybody has questions. Everyone's wondering what the heck really is going on. And that's even going into the senior levels of government, which I was allowed access to today. So it's very, very interesting to hear different people's point of view and to be able to present my point of view relative to what I have to think about that. And of course, most of you understand where I'm coming from relative to this COVID-19, what I consider really a large-scale scam. Meanwhile, in the Philippines, there's absolutely no end in sight there, as the government appears to be more indoctrinated, quite frankly, by the World Health Organization and various Bill Gates NGOs. And as such, the country is probably going to be partially shut down till at least September, largely shut down till at least September. And there also has been no discussion of any flights into the Philippines there either relative to this COVID thing. Other than repatriation flights, there's some 300,000 Filipinos stuck out overseas. So there's some massive efforts to get those Filipinos who now do not have jobs back into the Philippines. And that effort is expected to last at least until mid-August. Now, locally, I heard that Dubai is going to be opening up soon. So you people are going to be able to go to Dubai. And I was at the border today, literally today, between Saudi and Bahrain, speaking to some people locally there. And the Bahraini, which is, of course, a small island nation that's off the coast of Dammam. They are just begging people to come to their place. They have been hit really, really, really hard. They're almost begging people to come. They've been open actually for quite some time, but nobody's actually cut up or opened up a corridor to them. So they are actually still shut down. Again, Dubai, they're saying, is maybe the 7th. Speaking to some senior level government guys today, they were saying today, nothing formal, of course, because that would come from the Ministry of Health, but they're hopeful that things could actually start to open up in July. But again, all of this remains to be seen. This thing really on a global scale, if you're outside of the United States or Europe, Europe is actually opening up also, by the way. But here in the Middle East, the Philippines, Asia, it's become very, very complicated. I was speaking to somebody out of China today, and he is actually in Beijing. And of course, you've been hearing a lot of stuff about Beijing. You know, COVID's are on the rise and they're going to shut down the city, et cetera, et cetera. He said, no, Dennis, we have only 1,000 people here that are actually said to have this thing. So we don't know what the government is speaking about in China either. So I know my comment to the government officials, since I was asked to speak today, was that, in my opinion, we're looking at a medical mafia. And we really have to discuss on a global scale just what this mafia is allowed to do to, quote unquote, protect us. Because quite frankly, as I said, look, this virus has a success rate or a survival rate of 99.97 or so percent. And you explain to me why we have to shut down the global economy when this is the case, regardless of the fact that, yes, people are dying purportedly. Yes, you know, it's supposed to be serious. But I said, look, in America, we had so many, probably 50% of our deaths were probably not even legitimate deaths. They were murders. And they were like shocked looking at me like, you really believe that? I said, yes, look at the facts. Look at what's going on. And what you're going to find is that it doesn't make sense. The federal government incentivized this. I told them straight up that, look, this has been incentivized. You're talking about $83,000 or so for everybody you can kill. And that goes from first getting them in the door, saying they have COVID-19, trying to get them on ventilators if they're really just poor. Nobody to advocate for them, just basically railroading them into this channel and eventually killing them. And they just, I'll tell you, people were kind of shocked. Now, I would challenge any of you to try to do what we have just done this week. Again, I challenge anybody. I've heard a lot of stuff about what I do over here. And I challenge anybody, again, to come forward and be as clear and astute as I present. Going out to the 210 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the iLive Primetime.
Hello, Fitch. This is Bruce in Texas.
Bruce, how you doing, man?
Could be doing better. I've had a fever now for a week.
Oh, so you got COVID-19. Well, if you have actually got a virus, the flu, keep us posted.
Yeah, I did, you know, I've tried my, you know, what we used to do, I covered myself up in blankets trying to break the thing, and I would wake up, you know, in sweat and feeling a lot better. Mm-hmm. And the fever would come right back again, you know, and I went through this about 3-4 times.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm ready to shut down every single air corridor for you. I'm willing to put everybody on lockdown for you. And just because, you know, how's that?
I think
we got to protect everybody, you know, and so therefore, because you're claiming this, I think basically we have to destroy the Texas economy. I actually have heard, though, that Texas has seen a big spike of cases.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I haven't had the news on lately.
Me either, actually.
Most of the shows and here and there.
Yeah.
But this is the thing here. I went to the hospital the other day, and I go in there, and, of course, everyone's got their mask on, even the cops do, and I got my mask on, and I got this fever, and 10 over 10, you know, headache and a slight cough, productive, but it's not nothing serious, you know. And so they check me in and I go to the bed and they draw about a pint of blood for test, the chest x-ray, and they come back and they give me 2 rounds of IV antibiotic, and then they discharge me with a Z-Pak, And then, and so I get home, and then my employer says, well, did they test you for COVID? Because we have to know in order to let you come back to work. And I checked my paperwork, and I didn't say anything about it. So I called the hospital today, and I said, did you test me for COVID-19? And they said, no, the doctor didn't order it. And what kind of incompetence is that? They want everyone tested, and if you show up on their doorstep with
fever, symptoms, yeah.
With symptoms. And I think this doctor, he had the phenotype of a Jew, a young guy. I don't know what the hell to think there. It's just everything is idiocracy today. I just don't know. They said, you can come in and get a test. It's like, well, I got to drive all the way back into town, another 50 miles.
Yeah, and apparently these new tests that they're using, it's just swabbing either the throat or the nostrils, which isn't very comfortable. These seem to be the more effective because that's where the virus would actually be loaded, and it'll basically settle theoretically in the throat or the nostrils first. And so basically that's what they're doing here. They're using this style. And that's what the people, I've had like 5 people got tested for it now. And that's what they're saying here, you know, is that basically they're taking it from the throat and then testing the viral load off of the throat. So whether or not that's true, well, that's what they're telling me. So that's what they're telling me. So that part's true.
Right. Yeah. I thought maybe they just went ahead and did a blood test in the lab because how else do they test for other viruses, you know? Well, I guess I was mistaken. I should have demanded one. That way, now I got to go and get another test somewhere. I'll find one closer.
Yeah.
And, anyhow.
Well,
hey,
yeah.
By the way, have you ever heard of the Khazarian conversion in the 4th century AD?
Well, yeah, I think that's where basically you had these various groups that just converted to Judaism, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. That's something that's heavily censored, really. I think because it blows the whole claim of the Ashkenazi to the promised land out of the water. You know, it delegitimizes the entire rationale for occupying Palestine, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of people are aware of it in the know. It's something we don't cover here too much, you know. And to us, it's just arguing little semantics out there. At the end of the day, that's what we need to talk about is the issues today. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, we got some big ones. All right, I'll let you keep going.
All right, thanks so much. All right, good luck out there. Keep us posted. Where was I? Yeah, we were talking about basically what was going on out in the eastern provinces, you know, and people we were talking to, and it was quite an interesting day today. Of course, I got back early this evening, probably around 8 o'clock. I did not and do not check my emails for the radio show Inside the Eye Live through my phone. I just don't bother. And I never opened up my laptop for a couple days. Quite frankly, I didn't open it up yesterday. And I didn't open up until later today. And unfortunately, we've kind of known about this. Actually, before I get into that, let me try to finish this story about the COVID stuff, because it just lets you know the challenges we have. And of course, what's going on in America is different. But for those of us who are in the expat world, you guys can appreciate this. And I'm sure more than a few are listening out there. For instance, in the Philippines, what happened was, as I can see it here, you know, it's almost insane. You have to wait literally for hours to get into just a store. Literally, they're just waiting hours. They're only like letting 1 to 4 people. Again, this is idiotic. When you really think about it, we're dealing with idiots. And the idea that we're dealing with idiots is going to become a bit of a theme of the show here today, because we're going to be talking about what's going on with the ongoing protests and really the insurrection which is being waged within the democratic parts of the United States. You know, we really are dealing with idiots. And so, you know, this is just part of it. So when I looked at what's going on in the Philippines, for instance, Emily, for instance, right? She's leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to a store that's going to open at 6 so she can be one of the first in, so she's not stuck in waiting out line for 3 to 4 hours just to go do a little bit of shopping. It's insane. Quite frankly, the decisions are insane. The government officials are like trying to micromanage this to the point that they come off as being completely clueless dimwits that are essentially affecting the whole country, the people's ability to just function halfway normal. And it's all because basically unaccountable medical people are being given a free rein to do whatever the heck they want. And they really think, I mean, these guys are so puffed with their own idiocy, they really think they can micromanage this stuff. I mean, can you imagine when you really think about it, you are not going to micromanage this. The stupidity of Bill Gates, quite frankly, the stupidity of the World Health Organization is essentially being indoctrinated down into the layers of government. And they're following these diktats as if somehow you're going to really micromanage this stuff. It is the most absurd set of policies I have seen in. It was here for a while. It didn't last very long. I think the government kind of figured out it's kind of stupid, so they kind of like let it go pretty quick. But in the Philippines, they're just hanging on to this stuff for months and months and months. It's like, come on, man. You've got like transportation, right? You're not even allowed to travel unless your license plate has the right day on it. So basically, if you're odd, you can travel these days. If you're even, you can travel those days. And can you imagine, people can't get out and about. It's like destroying commerce. It's destroying the ability to just for people to move. And they're like, oh, well, you ain't going to stop crap, guys. You're not going to stop anything. If it's out there and it's really going to be affecting people, there's nothing you can do about it. You are not going to be able to micromanage it. This is the way things work in the world. We've been dealing with these things for hundreds of thousands of years, and at least in the historical record for many thousands of years, for millennia. And somehow you guys think you're going to micromanage it today with all your genius. It's really not going to work. For instance, schools. That should be in full swing in some areas, Philippines included. And it's delayed. For what? Because they want a vaccine. But the vaccine's going to be basically genetically modifying your kids. So basically, you're holding everything up to allow Bill Gates and the World Health Organization to essentially genetically modify your kids. Are you guys, I mean, you look at it and you're like, are you guys insane? You're going to allow these idiots, as government officials, you're going to allow these non-elective, really morons. Quite frankly, Bill Gates is a moron. He's an idiot, okay? He's really not that bright, guys. And you're going to allow this guy who can't keep a virus out of a computer, you think he's going to keep a virus out of you? And so you're going to genetically modify your engine, which is your immune system, for this guy? You're like, are you guys really this insane? See, we're dealing with people that just don't seem to grasp the sinisterness of what's happening here. It's so bad, okay, in the Philippines right now. There was a meeting this week, and the mayor of the area where I'm at called all the salon owners. Well, being a salon owner, that means Emily went just to see what the heck they were going to talk about. And if, mind you, when this thing first broke, you know, we thought, okay, you told us 15 days to break the curve, you know, flatten the curve, right? The same tricks were used over in the Philippines. And then it just goes on and on and on and on. My goodness, they started May 17th, guys. May 17th, April, May, June. We're 3 months into this. They haven't figured out basically even what to do except for keep everybody outside 6 feet apart, allowing 2 people into a 100,000 square foot store. It's like, really? So the mayor calls the people in and say, you know, and the policies they put in place, people can't work. The businesses cannot work. And it's not just in the U.S. It's also inside of everywhere. A lot of places can't work. Now, here, It is now done. Salons have opened. They have their little policies. Haircuts, barbershops. I finally got my hair cut. That was nice. But what we're seeing here, let me turn that down. But what we're seeing is that in some areas, they're just like they haven't figured it out. You're what? You're 90 days into this and you haven't figured it out yet? It's a virus. You haven't figured out a viral curve yet, how these things work. I thought you guys are professional. So the mayor's calling in all these salons asking for 5 kilogram of rice donation. Is that it? Hell, I donated 120 back in April. And then I divided that up and bought a bunch of fish and I gave out 60 food packs in April. And now you're coming to ask people that you basically kept out of business for 90 days. Now you as the government want donations? How about you guys start solving the problems you're creating by your policies? How about you go start to get educated beyond the World Health Organization and beyond Bill Gates and really start to figure out what the heck is going on? Start to figure out that you can't just shut down your entire world because of something. You can't, especially something that has a 99+ survival rate, percentage survival rate. You can't do it. And now you're asking people that you've kept out of business that are now, some of these people are saying, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. I need to sell because I need food for my family. And now you're asking these people for money? It's like, how about you do something? Seriously, how about you guys do something? So it's very, very strange. You know, you're asking for 100 kilo of rice, okay? In a country of 60 million people or 90 million people, in a city that has 117,000 people, something like that. It's not a small town, not a big town. But you're asking for 100 kilo of rice in a city of 117,000 people? Really? Really? That's your strategy? Look, we like you guys. We worked with you. We try to help what we can. But is that what you're coming to us with? This is almost as bad. At least they're not burning down their cities like we have in democratic held countries or cities in America, right? But I'm like, come on. It's your responsibility now to figure out what to do. We tried to help you out, but we don't even know when you guys got an end game here. Or what your exit strategy is. It's like, why don't you communicate what's your exit strategy? And that should be being said to every single government out there. What the hell is your exit strategy? And all of these various health officials, round them up. It's the best, everybody. Inside Dan Ryan, back with more right after this.
Did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me
a dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Revolution, Revolution Radio. Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat masses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
The Fetch inside the ILI primetime. It's June. I think I have the right date now. June the 25th, 2020. Something to that effect. Good Thursday afternoon right now to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And of course, the good late, really early morning. If you're listening like me, I'm listening, I guess. I'm talking, but I guess I'm listening too. But anyways, good morning, everybody in European and Asian time zones. Of course, wherever you're out there, again, we hope all's going well with you and yours. Just want to say real quick before we get on to the balance of the show is that I had not viewed any of the emails until I got home until this evening, about 8 o'clock, and I was pretty well exhausted. I had driven, you know, a good portion of that, and my colleague, he drove the other half, but it was hot and not a lot of sleep last night. It was one of those trips where you're packing in the meetings, and I got home and a lot, more than usual, emails in my mailbox letting me know that very famous caller, Mr. Frank in North Carolina, has passed away. We did know that it was imminent. His people or people close to him had called me last week to inform me that it really was looking bad, that basically he was now no longer responsive. And Frank did pass away sometime this week. I haven't really gone through all the emails to see yet. So I didn't have really any time to put any tribute to Frank. He, of course, earned one, deserves one. So what's going to happen is on alternative media with Farron Schoaf, they're going to have a tribute to Frank Saturday at 9 o'clock a.m. at RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network. Obviously, Frank was a huge fan and a huge part of this show for a long, long time. And he was a legend, to be honest with you, in the caller market. He was somebody that would call and really give it to people and educate. And he had a good demeanor about him. He was a great contributor. I know he called the Alex Jones Show and raised the profile of the Jewish issue far more than a lot of people have, because he was actually able to get in to speak to people like an Alex Jones. And of course, he's been missed for all this time. I know he fell ill, I believe something around January, something like that. But obviously, it's a sad passing, honestly. He had expressed a desire to just finish and go probably a month ago, something to that effect. So he's been missed. It's not like we're going to miss. He's been missed. And of course, his era has come. And he's really a great guy when it came to the radio business. So, again, I think the best thing at this stage is, if you want to give a little bit of honor to this guy, he deserved it. Frank certainly deserved it. Is tune in again Saturday for Alternative Media with Farron Shoaf. I think it's Shoaf. I hope I said that correct, Farron. And, again, that will be 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern on RBN. Now, Farron has reached out to me, asked me to call. Farron, if you're listening, I have gotten and I've seen the emails from you. I think I have responded. I apologize. Today has just been a really hard, long day for me, and I still had radio to do, so I came home and I took a rest for some time here and haven't done a whole lot because I'm just kind of exhausted today. So we will be reaching out to Farron and probably like 99% chance calling into Farron's show between 9 to 10 before my show on Saturday. And I know there's a huge amount of listeners that do one of two things: listen to Farron for the first hour and then jump to me when I start, or listen to all of Farron and then jump to me at 11 o'clock when Farron finishes. So to all of you who are listening, I do intend to be working and calling Farron about this. It's obviously Frank meant a lot to this show. He honored this show quite a lot by just calling into this show. So again, thank you, Frank, for all your time and efforts, you know. So guys, you know, we've had a lot of passings, quite frankly, in our business here. And that includes Revolution Radio, Freedom Slips. We've lost quite a lot of people. We've lost a reasonable amount here on this show. So, again, tune in Saturday. Just tune in Saturday, man. Frank deserves it, quite honestly. So tune in Saturday, 9 o'clock a.m. for Farron Shoaf, Alternative Media with Farron Shoaf. Again, that's going to be 9 o'clock at Republic Broadcasting Network. Again, we encourage everybody who appreciated this show and Frank's efforts to please tune in. Again, we're going to have some type of, actually, Farron's going to be managing that. So he's going to put together a tribute. So again, we ask you that you kind of like honor Frank by tuning in Saturday. So you're now up to date. And again, I just got the word this evening. I just got home this evening and I just found out about it. Aside from that, let me just say it is listener-sponsored and supported radio equally. Again, it's always relied upon donations from listeners to keep things up and running, including my efforts here. I want to just say to Salman MG out there in Salman Arm, Canada. He's been a longtime supporter of this show. Salman, thank you very much. You know who I mean. He's Salman MG in the chat room. So thank you very much for that. Always appreciate your support of this show. It's always generous, quite frankly, and appreciated. This is our month where we pay our bills. So I've already paid like about three of those already. So thank you very much, Mr. M, but out in Salman Arm. So thank you very much for that. What else? The ITO Cat Report, proudly sponsored by, I haven't started her segment yet, but the Citizen Reporter, she's actually bought the sponsorship. I need to work with her to put something together. I think we'll do that starting July 1st now, something like that. But we'll get into all those details. So, but anyways, The sponsorship's been purchased, put it that way. I've just been remiss a little bit, but the Citizen Reporter, I think the citizenreporter.com maybe. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look. She sent me something, but I got to put something together for her. So if you're listening, Erica, you might see Erica in the chat room. Don't worry. It's nothing. We'll keep it going. What else? The ITO Cat Report is, again, it's covered. I don't have a whole lot to say, but I do have this to say. Where we have a huge office, we have in one situation, I'm looking at I don't know, it's big, 100,000 square foot warehouse, something like that. Maybe more. Actually, I think it's probably closer to 350,000 warehouse divided into three, and there are cats there. So I was there. We were looking to redo some remodel, basically reorganize, make the factory a little bit streamlined. It's kind of like a little consulting gig I got while I'm sitting here. And I'll tell you what, I bought the staff lunch. You know what I mean? Because they're helping me, giving me information. They were staying late. So I bought lunch. And that lunch consisted of, it's called capsa. Capsa is basically a rice and chicken dish. Could be other meats, but I bought the capsa with chicken, dijaj, as they like to say locally. And tell you what, the cat smelled it. If you can imagine, man, there's a 350,000 square foot warehouse and we're having lunch. And all of a sudden you got three cats showing up. It's like, where'd you guys come from, man? Hey, you're hungry, huh? So I made sure that all the scraps made it to the kittens and the cats, not kittens. I made sure it got to the cats. So they were pretty happy, guys. I always try to take care of my little feline friends. Meanwhile, over in the Philippines, Dempsey is the one that followed us home that day. He's really become quite a good friend for Emily. He is basically with her, by her side, on her lap, almost 24/7. He has just become kind of like glued to her. In the meantime, I tried to discourage, I tried to veto, but it's not going to happen. We have this new litter, five kittens, and she has decided, Emily has decided to name the one male, get this, everybody, the one male is going to be called, and I tried to stop it because I thought the name should be, I honestly feel the name deserves to be retired, but going to be named Bruiser. She's got a new cat, and she's going to name that cat Bruiser, and I really feel that Bruiser, his name should be retired. But I lost the battle. I'm not there to impose myself. So we have a new Bruiser, and he's a cute little guy, to be honest with you. And if he's anything half of what the first Bruiser was, he's going to be a great cat because he's still a kitten here. So that's kind of big news, you know, for those of you who followed this show. You know, we still miss Bruiser to this day, to be honest with you. Kind of like we miss Frank, I guess, right? But yeah, it's a new cat, Bruiser. It's like, I don't know, man. I really wanted that name retired. But I lost. It's kind of like, you know, you get a hockey player or a baseball player and you kind of like retire the number. Well, that's what I felt about the name Bruiser, but it's just not going to go down. So we have a new cat by the name of Bruiser, and that is your cat report for today. Again, Thursday, not April, it's June 25, 2020, something to that effect. And let's see, I think it might be a good time to try to sneak in an oy vey moment today. What do you guys think? I think so.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody. Oy vey.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oy vey.
Oy vey,
everybody!
Oy vey! The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
All right, and this week's Oy Vey moment is, we're going to go out to, let's accept that, maybe the page will load. I think we're going to go out to Hollywood. Why not? Let's go out to Hollywood today. But the story's coming out of the UK, and I'm not sure what this is really all about. But essentially, we've had a lot of stories coming from about Mel Gibson, it seems, as of late. Mel Gibson, of course, is kind of famous for his comments about the clarity and truthfulness of the Jewish people that run and control Hollywood. And he's been reportedly now axed. There you go. Axed from his reprising role in Netflix's Chicken Run sequel. And again, the Hollywood actor is 64 years old. He will not be taking on the voice of Rocky in the sequel of the 20-year-old animated classic movie, according to film sources. Winona Ryder, she's Jewish, opened up on the alleged comments of in 2020 with GQ, saying Mel asked her if she was a Jewish oven dodger at a party they both attended in 1995. Now, do you really think Mel would have said that? I'm just kind of curious. Now, there's been a lot of oven dodgers. I don't think any Jew has ever actually not dodged the oven, because they all claim they existed and they obviously never existed. So basically, everybody's an oven dodger in the Jewish community, if you want to think about it truthfully. I mean, just from just a logical, rational explanation. But Mel is fiercely denying the claims, and I believe that, because Jews will like to play this crap up. They will look for sympathy. They will lie. They will essentially do whatever they can to get you fired, just not just fired, but destroy your credibility or your name or whatever the case may be. And so basically, Mel saying, I didn't say it. I didn't say anything homophobic and whatever that's supposed to mean. And there were no anti-Semitic remarks to her. But nonetheless, he's going to get canceled anyways. So I guess what the Jews are saying out here is you might as well say it. But I'll tell you what, I really look at Jewish people now, like this Winona Ryder, as being an ugly pig. This type of behavior, quite frankly, is disgusting. Once again, we are dealing with a loathsome, low-class, disgusting culture. This victimhood mentality where they want to play in their dreams and their minds over and over again about how everybody's anti-Semitic. But in reality, we are looking at an ugly, gilded, privileged culture that has absolutely zero class in the world today. They will try to criticize anybody that says anything they don't like. They will try to get you fired. They will try to destroy your career. They will go after your family. Again, this level of hatred, I mean, really, when you think about it, you have to really hate people, which Jews do, to go about and do all of these things to people. I mean, come on. I saw somebody, for instance, there was an email, I think Farron shared it with me. Some Jewish guy basically said, nobody's ever heard of this Frank guy, and, I pissed on his grave. Can you imagine the loathsome mentality you have to have to even say something like that publicly? Think about it. And you know what? If I'm Frank right now, I'd be like trying to figure out how to poltergeist that SOB. I would. Screw that. I ain't going away that easy. I'd try to poltergeist the SOBs. Okay, fine. You want to play that game? Let me kind of like drive the car off a cliff for you. Let's poltergeist your ass, I wouldn't mind, It would be kind of a fun thing to do. Quite frankly, because they can't touch you. What are they going to do? Cancel you? I don't think so. Anyways, this actress, who is a really sleaze bag, alleged that the topic of the Jewish faith came up, and she claims that Mel asked her, "You're not an oven dodger, are you?" I doubt he actually said that. That sounds so stupid. But, she's Jewish, so we can expect stupid things to be said. So nonetheless, that's the latest. Poor old Mal, he's being targeted once again. That's right, once again, because, you know, he's kind of clear on the Jewish issue, and that's not a great thing. You can't be too clear on the Jewish issue, quite frankly. You're going to get called out for it if you're very clear. And you guys get that. You know, we've been discussing it, quite frankly, for quite some time. There's been, you know, it's funny. People are asking me here lately about various things that are going on in America. I said, well, look, say what you want, guys, but this health official is a transgender Jew. The guy's so confused, he thinks he's a woman. And he's deciding for the American people, at least those who live in Pennsylvania, about the coronavirus. And I said, you know, this woman in Ohio, this Amy Acton, she's a Jew. She was brought over from New York to basically tell the people of Ohio what they can and can't do. And she's a Jew. Go up to Michigan, the attorney general, which was protecting the governor all this time, is guess what? Yep, she's a Jew. I said, if you go through this entire scheme of things, what you're going to find is that there's very few white people. It's all being done by Jews and their pet monkeys. In some respect, yeah, I know that's racist, right? I don't think so. It's just a figurative of speech here. But I'll tell you what, they're pets, you know, in the people of color community. And it's absurd, quite frankly. And I basically listed everything to them, and they said, wow, is that really going on? I said, yeah, absolutely, that's what's going on. And people get it. So basically now, not because of me, of course, but you had a situation where, back that story up, there has been a Saudi cleric. He was attacked this week for denouncing anti-Semitism. Again, I would disagree with that. Again, that's not a political issue, I don't think. Again, why are you worried about this? Again, you're not having to deal, as a Saudi citizen, you're not having to deal with the internal politics of America or the UK or Germany or France or anywhere else, theoretically. Again, so why are you involving yourself in these types of discussions? A Saudi cleric, his name is Muhammad al-Issa, visited Auschwitz earlier this year, and last week he addressed the American Jewish Committee's online global forum, and he expressed a desire to improve Muslim-Jewish relations and fight Holocaust denial. Well, once again, that's not your history. That's our history, and we have every right to do what we want to do relative to rectifying history. It's not for clerics, to be honest with you, to be involved in these types of discussions. It's not for you to be taking sides, quite frankly. The problem America has right now, and by extension, the problem the world has, is because nobody has dealt with this totalitarian mentality of the Jewish people. They seem to think that by writing their or hanging their hat on this Holocaust fraud, that somehow they can do whatever the hell they want. And that includes impose limitations on speech, limitations on who can and can't run for political office, limitations, honestly, on who can and can work, limitations on who can and can't have a business. So these types of issues are all out there, and every ounce of this falls back on a fraudulent history. I would like to ask, why are we not discussing openly the 50 plus million people that Jews killed, literally killed, murdered everybody in Russia? Why are we not openly discussing the Jewish role in Mao's Cultural Revolution? Why aren't we openly discussing the Jewish role in the killing fields and Pol Pot in Cambodia? Why aren't we openly discussing the Jewish role in the slave trade in North America? Why aren't we openly discussing Israel itself as being an apartheid, worse than that, a racist theocracy itself, which really does suppress everybody other than Jews? I'll be honest, you don't have that here, guys. It's not like that. If you're an American and you go to Israel, guys, they will, before you land, they will hack. They will honestly hack all of your social media accounts before you land. And if they find anything they didn't like, they're going to hold you for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. And then they may not even let you come into the country. The Israelis are some of the worst people going on planet Earth today. And there is absolutely no reason why anybody, quite frankly, should be granting these people any breathing space when it comes to dealing on a social level within humanity. They can't be trusted. They're evil. They're vile people. They are, if you want to use the term racist, there is nobody, nobody on planet Earth more racist than the Jewish people. They truly do believe that it is their right to destroy the planet. And in a very much way, in a very clear way, I believe, this whole COVID scam is all about Jews, quite frankly, Jewish people, aligned, probably in this case, I'm going to have to go down that route with Alex Jones here and say that it's a Jewish insurrection bought and paid for through BLM, which again, if you donate to BLM, you're donating to the Democratic National Committee. Of course, Antifa is clearly a Jewish organization. It has been a Jewish organization since the 1920s. Why aren't we talking about that more clearly? See, these are all issues we should be openly discussing, because a lot of us, honestly, a lot of us work really hard to try to make the planet a better place for everybody, regardless of race, creed, or color. We don't really care all that much. And I know some of my friends or some of my people in the white community, you're going to maybe take offense to that. But no, we can create it for everybody. That's what we've been doing, guys, for hundreds of years. And anyways, okay, it's not like we haven't been doing it. Now, I'm not saying everybody comes together. I'm saying immigration works and a lot of other things work. But look, there's nobody, if we are going to have a really good, sane planetary structure here, the European community, and that includes the traditional American people, which by default precludes or occludes Jewish people, it removes people of color for the most part. These people, quite frankly, all of us have to speak up, have to get involved, have to be part of the solution. The other choice, guys, is it's these guys, if they come into power, you've seen what they've done with this COVID-19 scam. They shut you down. They put you out of business. They basically put you under house arrest. That future ain't going to work, man. It's idea in live prime time. That's what's right after.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! Kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The blood is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. And do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio!
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date again is June 25, 2020. Good Thursday afternoon to all of you listening out there in the United States and Canada again. And of course, it's early Friday morning for a lot of us here. It's 2 o'clock, just after 2 o'clock in the morning here in Saudi Arabia. So again, good morning, I guess. Good morning. You know, there's a picture here after this woman. I don't know what her name is, but she went to college. Beautiful young blonde. She comes out literally looking like an Aboriginal something or other. And what the hell happened to you with that programming while you spent all that time in school? And I'll tell you, seriously, today I had no idea who I was even meeting, to be honest with you. But we had some very good meetings today here in Riyadh. And one of the things we talked about was the United States. And, of course, we were talking about the COVID-19. It's a big story here in Saudi Arabia because everybody has to wear masks. Obviously, we're on government property, so all of us are wearing masks. Everybody involved is very well educated And so here we are, and I understand some Arabic. I know what they're talking about, and I hear something, and then somebody says, well, this Amriki, he doesn't believe any of this stuff. He thinks it's a scam. And then so basically that was an open door for the various people to ask me my opinion. And I said, hey, look, you know, in America, we're upset. We're pissed off. You know, I'll tell you what, we've had our country shut down on something that has a 99.97 recovery rate. So I say, how is it that we build America based on something where you're going to recover 99.97% of the time? And then I said, furthermore, America as it is, we are not supposed to be a country where we cower in fear. We didn't build the country that way. What do you think? We landed in New York and we went all the way across the continent, basically pacified the darn thing, built a great nation out of it. One of the, you know, really, and we did it by ourselves, quite frankly, as a people. And somehow now we're supposed to be afraid because a bunch of health ministers say we're supposed to be afraid. I said, that's not the way we are. I said, I don't care what these guys say. It's not something that we Americans should be cowering in fear for. And then they were mentioning to me how many of these Jewish oligarchs have made billions of dollars. Because I heard it. It was all talking about in Arabic, but they're talking about Jeff Bezos, you know, how much he's made. And they're talking about this guy, how much he's made. So I understood where the conversation was going, even though it was Arabic. And they were like saying, you know, what is this? Like eight of these billionaires made something like $440 billion. They were mentioning that in Arabic today. And then they're saying, then they're like, yeah, well, this Enrique, yeah, he can tell you a few things too. So they asked for my comments today. And guys, these are not small people. And I'm just letting people know. Again, that's we have to talk. We have to prevent this type of stuff from happening ever again. And it's not easy because everybody's afraid. Everybody doesn't understand where the real power is coming from. It's like it's hidden. We know it in America, it's three things: the governor, the health officials, and the attorney generals. These people should be taken out. Literally, they have to be taken out of power. They're too dangerous. Way too dangerous. Then they talked about the riots. They said, what's going on with your country? I said, well, they're asking me, what about all these riots in your country? And I told them straight up, I said, look, you know, as unpalatable as it seems, right now, it's being held inside of democratic territory. And they understand American politics. They're astute enough, and they're like nodding in agreement. And I said, look, in America, we're like, not that I'm not so confident yet, but still, the American people, they have on the right 40, 50 million people with all manner of weaponry. Against what? 1.5 million, if they're lucky, Antifa and BLM. And they may be very vocal, but they're not outside of their territory. I said, for me, I don't care if they let it burn. Let people see it. I said, because you can't send in the troops to shut it down. And they're like looking at me. I said, look, if I were to be the president today and I took the federal military, and I sent those military into a state, into a city, and I broke up a protest against all the various agencies that state has, I said, that's going to be a constitutional crisis in some respect with the current direction of the media today. I said, look, it's very simple. If you send the military in and you have 5, 6, 7 deaths, with the way the media is so anti-Trump, they're going to paint this as a Bashar al-Assad the butcher scenario, and you're going to have a huge problem because the media doesn't like Trump. They're going to try to get rid of this guy no matter what. But as we've all said, you know, people say, well, Fitch, you know, you're just a big Trump supporter. Well, guys, you now see what's on the left, man. You can whine and BS about how, oh, you're just a Fetch, you're just a Trump supporter. Do you see what's on the other side now? And Trump's not, actually, I think he has been trying to stop some of this. A hell of a lot more than the Democrats. And quite frankly, the Republican Party, they're the only dissident group left. Because if, and we said this all the way back in 2016, we tried to tell people, look, it's not just Trump. You got to buy some time to prepare. And now look what's happened. It's not the Trump people that put it in. You're talking about, for the most part, all these Democratic mayors, Democratic governors, Democratic health officials. They're the ones that shut everything down. For the most part, a lot of these Republicans who kept things rational, they've actually had better results than the five key states with Democrats where they basically were murdering people. And I told them today, I said, look, I'm talking to the Saudi people. I'm saying, look, this is what happened, man. They were killing people. Probably half of those deaths were actual murders. It's so cynical. They were getting paid $83,000 a pop to basically kill people. Now, if you can imagine the silence in a room when Fetch gets going on something like this. But we have to be open and speak the truth. I told him, look, as far as I'm concerned, let it burn. I'm at the stage now. Let it burn. Look, you got an election in 4 months, basically. If these people want to go ahead and just sign up for more 4 years of Democratic, we're going to have to split the country. Seriously, because we can't live under this. And if the feds want to get involved, because I'm sure they will, the American people in the patriotic right, because we are part of the patriotic right, whether you agree with us, I don't care. We are basically the voice of the patriotic right. We are the voice of that right. Trump here was at a particular meeting, and he was, I believe, in Tulsa. It wasn't a meeting. It was a rally. He was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And there's various comments whether this actually went well or not. I'm really not a judge on that. But he was basically saying exactly what I have been saying for quite frankly some time equally here.
I flew in with some of our great congressmen who we're going to introduce in a second. And I said to him, Congressman, what do you think? I can straighten it out fast. Should we just go in? No, sir. Let it simmer for a little while. Let people see what radical left Democrats will do to our country.
Now, that's my opinion. I actually agree with that. Tucker Carlson, who I actually like what he's saying, he's also part of the, as in my opinion, the patriotic right equally. He's saying, no, this isn't true. This is the wrong message, that Trump has to work for all Americans. But I have to disagree with Tucker, and it's only on a matter of technicality, legality. You have today, you have information that flows literally at the speed of light. And because it does flow at the speed of light, you have to be very careful how you step. It's not 1920, where you could have sent the military in, or the 1900s, early 1900s, send the military in, control the whole message. The media was basically behind the government at the time, and you could get away with it. That's not the situation we are in today. So I kind of agree. Let it burn. Just let it burn. I was telling the Saudi guys there today, let it burn. This is our attitude right now. Let it burn. As long as it's contained in the Democratic areas, look, we didn't vote them in. We don't have a say in this. This is the American system. There's nothing we can do. If they try to take it into the heartland, into the patriotic strongholds, then it makes sense to us. We defund the police. We don't need the police in the way. If they're going to be in the way, it's okay to get them out of the way, because sadly, a lot of police forces in America are aiding and abetting this current ongoing insurrection. It's very obvious. The police are not innocent here. And if they are good police officers, they want to join the people, obviously you're going to welcome them. They do have some training, and they do know what they do as far as handling weapons. But if they are part of the insurrection, defund them. You don't need them. Be very clear about what's going on here. And I just said, let it burn. Just let it burn. You know, if it ever gets into a shooting war, and it could be an open civil war, it's already a civil war. But if it became an open civil war, well, okay, let it burn. And the younger generation equally, they're starting to understand just what is happening here, because the hypocrisy from the Jewish media, and remember, when you break it all down, 94% of American media is owned by Jewish companies. Jewish guys run these media. And if you don't think that somehow That influence at the top doesn't trickle down into the editorial direction of these publications and these media assets. You're, quite frankly, fooling yourself. You're going to get vetted. If you're not the right person for that job and can be counted on to essentially just do the work and make sure the message keeps going, you're not going to be offered a job. It's very simple. It's not that complicated. This is all agenda-driven, has been, always will be. But the younger generation is starting to see it equally, and to listen to some of these kids speak is a little bit refreshing.
If I say all lives matter, I'm a racist. If I stand for my flag, I have to apologize for it. I'm not allowed to go to church, but I can burn churches to the ground. I'm not allowed to open my own business, but I can go loot and destroy other people's businesses. If I wear a badge, have a gun, and I'm dressed in blue, I'm a racist pig. But if I walk around destroying my city with bricks and masks, I'm considered a peaceful protester. I'm not allowed to peacefully protest the lockdown at my capital, but I can go destroy and graffiti my capital. I'm not allowed to go to the park to play t-ball with my family, but I can destroy the park. I'm not allowed to protect our historical monuments and history, but I can go tear them down and have them land on top of people. I'm not allowed to have an opinion on racial matters because I'm white, but if I don't have an opinion on it, I'm the reason why people are oppressed. I can go riot in the streets with the BLM, but if I go to a Trump rally, COVID-19 magically appears. Does anyone else not see the hypocrisy in all of this? I am done with your bullshit.
And that's basically, if you think about it, that's a kid. She's in her teens. And she's calling it out because what we are witnessing here is very much an anti-white narrative that is happening here in the country today. They are going after traditional European American sentiments. Hi, 360 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the LA Prime Time. Hello.
Hi, this is Jenna calling from Olympia, Washington.
Jenna, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. So, in regards to epigenetics with humans, I was listening to a podcast about seeds. And a soil guy that has a lot of experience in farming told a story about how he knew that it takes two generations to ruin health of a human being. And the same goes for seed and how that has been controlled so that the smaller and smaller those seeds are in seed packets shows the degenerate, like how it's degenerated. And it takes two generations to gain back health. So, like, just listening to these young people and knowing that more than 50% of children today have been damaged by our environment, and knowing now in the agricultural world, all those little seed packets that we could buy in a store, they're like, you know, off the floor because the large seeds go to big industry or, you know, whoever's buying it up. So what I was learning was that it really does take saving your own seed and building up the soil to actually start getting nutritious food to maybe two generations from now get our function back. So, you know, we're at the bottom. And I just wanted to share that, to plan ahead for the future, or at least hold on to this information, because health and, you know, the natural world as a whole, we're so removed. And I think setting focus on, because as everything is falling apart, we're going to have to start somewhere. And I've been listening to Dan Kittrich, and he's got a lot of stuff on the internet that really simplifies looking at what it takes to regenerate soil for food. Because we're talking survival.
Which is an interesting thing, because quite frankly, if it really gets into a survival thing, then you get the Darwinian thing. The smartest people are typically going to be able to make it through to the other side, even though there might be a lot of carnage in the process.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine, quite frankly, these leftists and a lot of these people of color surviving, quite frankly, without basically having everything spoon-fed to them. I just can't picture it. I don't think they have the wherewithal to actually go out and plan.
No, I mean, we have been so, our environment is so degraded at this point, and it's through the control of bird, all innovation, because the bird program, the binational industrial agreement between Israel and the United States, it goes way back, 1948. All good ideas, all innovation, all progress has been stolen and scuffed, just like patents taken. All good ideas, so that fewer and fewer ideas are heard about, acted on, inspiring others to carry on, progress.
Mm.
So, individuals that are paying attention, are trying things out, sharing information. It's an alternative media. And that's the only way that we can help each other remember what it's like to survive.
I get you. Somehow I it sounds like this two-generation seed idea also goes to social structures and basically generations themselves. In other words, to really destroy the generations, you need two generations. So we were in the 60s, and now we're into the millennials, and they're basically destroyed. In other words, it was started with us, per se, after the, Haight Ashbury, something like that, in the 1969. And now it's culminated into where we are today, two generations later.
Yeah.
And now you're getting these young kids coming up. They're saying, hey, no way. This isn't right. We don't want any part of this.
Right. Yeah, I have a 19-year-old son in the U.S. Marines. And, he doesn't want to communicate with me even because, education. As soon as he went in, I just saw them just go. And the media, and they just took them away.
That's too bad. I don't have that problem, thank goodness. I'm okay. I got lucky, I guess. My kid's bright enough to understand, that the world ain't quite what it's cracked up to be, and dad's not so stupid after all. So I've been very fortunate, but those are very probably difficult to deal with. I've had the same story this week. Others saying I haven't spoken to my daughter in 10 years already. And he's a young guy. And the daughter has to be in her teens, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And hasn't spoken to her in years. But hopefully some of this younger generation, this Gen Z, we have enough gene pool figuring it out, and they can come out of this thing and try to make a change.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's roll up your sleeves.
It really is. It really is, yep. Man. I never thought we'd see this type of day. I always knew it was bad, but I never thought it would actually come into fruition while we're doing this, if you know what I mean. And it's right in front of our faces now. I mean, come on, they're running around tearing down the statues, tearing down everything historical. This is a cultural revolution, very similar to what the Maoists did in China. There's no difference, really. It's the same. We're dealing with a literal takeover of the country right before our eyes.
I do, because I've been specializing in land use and pretty much being a peasant tenant farmer. But biochar is a technology that is still being pushed under academia. I mean, Cornell University actually has a biochar facility, and most people don't even know what it is or how to use it. But it is, in essence, controlling fire to make wood or biomass into charcoal to inoculate and add to the garden soil. So it's very specialized, but biochar as a entrepreneurial or a focus of how to remediate air, water, and soil. And, you know, the activated charcoal, it's good internally, but the focus of projecting biochar ideas out into people's minds is really important. And I wanted to share that because we've been messing around with it in the land that we're putting. We have a 1,000-square-foot garden, not very big, but amending dead soil through the use of the information that's available now. Like Merge has put a great workshop series from Dan Kittredge on the chat. But with that and biochar, because it's calcified carbon, so we're getting a little sciencey, but it doesn't break down for like 1,000 years. And inoculating that, it you know, speeds up the whole process of, well, I have an opportunity to start growing my own food. How can I speed up the remediation? How can I also provide myself with water purification? And it's got a ton of different medicinal value to it, but it's controlling fire. You put it out before it turns to ash, and you have something very useful, not only from a prepper standpoint, but the closed circle of waste, any kind of biomass of waste material can be turned into biochar. And I want to recommend Skill Cult out on YouTube. He has like 6 different videos on how to, very simple methods. Mm-hmm. And then there's advanced, you can start welding steel vessels, but understanding that carbon in that form can be very useful.
This subject does interest me on a personal level because I use charcoal a lot myself, and I don't find really good stuff in the Philippines that I like. So I was thinking of maybe even learning how to do charcoal and to make what I want to make.
You can do it in a wok on your back patio.
Well, you know, I would try to get a farm and do it at a farm like you're doing. I think, you know, would be probably a better way to do it than on the back of my patio, trust me. But nonetheless, it'd be something that's very interesting. It's something I would have to start to look into before I can really talk about it, because I'm not an expert at it to where I can even communicate the idea. But it is something I know some people, maybe even close to you, sent me some information. I need to go through it, and that's something we may visit sooner rather than later. Jenna, thanks so much. All right, we're going to do a break, everybody. That's Jenna up in Washington. Let's go to Washington, one of the beautiful states out there, quite frankly. Back with more, everybody, right after this.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. The at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a civil majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Everybody, welcome back. Final half hour. Trust me, that's a great sounding thing to say here. Final half hour. Before we get going in this final half hour, we just want to say once again, if you did not hear at the top of the hour, our great friend and supporter of the show, Mr. Frank from North Carolina, passed away just a couple days ago. I believe. I haven't read the emails. I'm not sure exactly which day he passed away. Again, we may have a small tribute for him here on Inside the Eye Live Saturday, but for sure there's going to be a show, a tribute show for Frank on the Farron Schoaf's Alternative Media with Farron Schoaf starting 9 o'clock a.m. in the morning. I know that's real early for you guys on the West Coast, okay? But it is what it is, as we like to say, so we're going to be doing that. Farron's going to be hosting it, managing it. Again, it will go out Saturday morning, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Republic Broadcasting Network. And I know Farron has asked me to call him. I will do that. Farron, if you're listening tomorrow, I'll be in touch with you to see what we can do to contribute. So I will probably be somewhere within the first hour because obviously at 10 o'clock, I got to cut over and do Inside the Eye Live. And so that's just the way it is. Got no choice. So we might just do that. And that's about it. So just kind of keep that in mind. Again, special tribute to Frank in North Carolina Saturday. He certainly has earned it. He was a legend, to be honest with you, an absolute legend when it came to making phone calls in the Patriot movement. And, of course, he contributed quite a lot. So be sure to tune in. He certainly will deserve it, and he's earned it. So, Frank, we'll be missing you. We've missed you for some time, but the war continues. Let's see here. One thing we were talking about earlier today was just stupidity, and that's the stupidity of Antifa. It's the stupidity of the Black Lives Matter. For instance, one of the leaders, I'm not sure which leader it was, you know, if they even have a firm leader, I'm not sure. But they had this Black Lives Matter guy saying, if you don't give in to our demands, we're going to burn the country down. And I'll tell you what, the problem we have isn't so much Black Lives Matter. The problem we have right now is the federal government and the police. For instance, there was a video came out just the other day where this woman was caught in a protest. Again, she was in the city. Someone pulled a gun on her and she sped away and hit somebody. And that person kind of like flew off the hood, you know, maybe hurt and bruised, but not broke or anything. And then she got away. She went to stop at a red light. And at that red light, somebody pulled another gun and she sped away again. And the media tried to pursue or to frame this as that somehow there are, quote unquote, extremists attacking the protesters. See, there's a level of dishonesty, a lack of integrity from the mainstream media that makes them party to the criminal elements here. Like, who really wrote this story? Who wrote the headline? That person really should be outed. We should know who that person was. How dare you write something that extremists are attacking protesters with car attacks, you know, knowing full well what's going on. We do know what is exactly going on. But essentially what we have here is a group of idiots, a group of people that are quite frankly stupid. And I'm not even joking here. They are stupid. But they have numbers, they have the media behind them, and they are doing what they can to impose this stupidity onto our society. And of course, this is one of the reasons why we don't want to have a full democracy where these idiots can actually reign and rise and reign supreme.
Never in American history have they been more emboldened than they are now. Just this afternoon around lunchtime, an activist called Sean King issued the following demand on Twitter, quote, all murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother and their white friends should also come down. They are a gross form of white supremacy created as tools of oppression, racist propaganda. They should all come down, end quote.
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to play that clip there. But can you imagine if we actually had the power to literally take down every single Jewish monument? And can you imagine the uproar the Jewish community would be in if we were literally going around the country right now, destroying every single Jewish monument, anything that attests to Jewish history in the United States? Can you imagine what would be happening? Because that's really what's happening here. Jewish media is condoning the destruction of European history in our own country and right in our own face. And they want to pretend it is as if somehow we're supposed to be okay with it. And I'm not sure how you can say it, but imagine going after somebody's religion, just because they're quote unquote white, white, white. It's clearly an anti-white agenda, and it's no longer even under the in the shadows anymore. It's quite frankly right out straight in the open in the bright and light of the day.
Living here. These are definitely not protesters. They're not even rioters. They're the armed militia of the Democratic Party. They're working to overthrow our system of government. They're trying to put themselves in power.
And be very clear about what's happening here. This is an insurrection. It is an attempted violent coup d'etat. And it's being managed through Fortune 100, Fortune 500 corporations, the media, the Democratic National Committee. This is a coup d'etat. We are looking at an insurrection, literally, against the American people or traditional America. These guys don't really have the numbers, folks. They don't have the numbers. So what are they going to try to do? They're going to try to take it over through a violent takeover of the nation.
Living here. These are definitely not protesters. They're not even rioters. They're the armed militia of the Democratic Party. They're working to overthrow our system of government. They're trying to put themselves in power.
And one other thing real quick is that we've talked about this quite a lot over the past couple of weeks. We've talked about the political side of things, where typically political movements are going to need some type of paramilitary force to impose agenda when politics is not working. And Tucker's saying the same thing here. He's saying that basically these are the military wing. They are the force wing. Again, paramilitary, whatever you want to call it. We are looking at literally an organized structure with a political side, which would be the Democratic National Committee, the media, which backs it 100%, corporations which backs these people 100%, and of course, and they provide the violence on the streets.
That's all obvious now. It's genuinely sinister. We're worried about it. We've said that. We mean it. But in the process of saying that, we may have missed something else that is also true, as well as highly amusing. These people are idiots, for real. The angry children you watch set fire to Wendy's and topple statues and scream at you on television day after day are truly and utterly stupid. There's probably never been a dumber group gathered in one place in all of American history. They're mouth breathers. They know nothing. They couldn't tell you who George Washington was. They don't know when the Civil War was fought, probably not even to the century. They say they oppose racism, and then they rip down monuments to abolitionists. They don't see the contradiction in that because they have no idea who the abolitionists were. They think it's a band from the 80s. A lot of the very stupidest people, by the way, are, quote, well-educated. They have all the worthless credentials we're told we should want for our children. They went to Duke. They work at some nonprofit. They hold a good-paying job in digital marketing at Nike. Yeah. They're supposedly impressive, but they're not impressive at all. They're incredibly dumb. They fall for any lie, no matter how preposterous. The more preposterous, the more likely they are to fall for it. And like small children, they are afraid of everything. In California, a Hispanic utilities worker made the mistake of cracking his knuckles at a red light. The geniuses thought he was flashing a white supremacist gang sign, so they fired him. Poor guy. In Oakland, Mayor Libby Schaaf, who claims she went to college and law school, wow, mistook exercise equipment in a park for Ku Klux Klan nooses. Schaaf then held a press conference to hyperventilate about hate crimes. Talk about textbook hysteria. But it was also hysterically funny. For people this neurotic, life is one long horror movie. They squirm in their seats, paralyzed by fear. Even the simplest and most obvious decisions become impossible to make. They're too afraid. The New York Times just profiled a group of people just like this, sympathetically, of course. This group lives in an affluent part of Minneapolis. After watching hours of CNN, they pledged to stop calling the police. Calling the police, they decided, was racist, so they didn't call police. Almost immediately, hundreds of mentally ill homeless drug addicts showed up and erected a tent camp in their park. Then prostitutes arrived. Then caravans of drug dealers showed up to service the addicts. People overdosed. Meanwhile, neighbors cowered in their own homes, unable to sleep. One resident, a man called Mitchell Erickson, found himself cornered by two thugs who put a gun into his stomach and demanded his car keys. So Erickson finally broke down. He called police. And then he deeply regretted it. Quote, I put those boys in danger of death by calling the cops, Erickson told the paper, apparently not joking. For the rest of us, the question is, can people this damaged, this weak, actually run a country? And the answer is no, of course not. And we definitely should not let them. But in the meantime, we also should not pass up an opportunity to let them amuse us, because they do.
Yeah. Again, we're dealing with a lot of stupid people, and that stupidity goes all the way to the top, quite frankly. I don't know if I'm sure a lot of you probably have, but recently NASCAR, of course, nothing gets more American. Nothing is like more American than NASCAR. It's a tradition, obviously, in the South that has a huge following, and NASCAR decided to virtue signal to the POC community, the LGBTQ and the Jewish community, basically, and said, we're going to remove the Confederate flag from being displayed inside of NASCAR. It's not welcome anymore. And it's like, why would you guys be that stupid? Seriously, as an organization, why would you be that stupid? Because your base isn't people of color. What do you think? Just because you virtue signal to the people like in the black community that they're going to go around and start buying up your tickets and going to your races? Of course not. Your fans are this Southern culture, and they have every right to their culture as everybody else. And that flag is important to them. And there's nothing absolutely wrong with that flag. It has always been a sign of positivity, of this rebel attitude against authority. And even if you don't like it, they have their right to it. And just to pander, I mean, come on, NASCAR is a huge operation. And they basically pandered to a bunch of idiots. And so you have idiots inside of NASCAR pandering to a bunch of BLM idiots or Antifa idiots. And then it gets even more bizarre. All of a sudden now, there's one guy, Bubba Wallace. He's the only black guy on the circuit, right? Now, Bubba Wallace as a driver in a heavily competitive sport. It is a type of sport. Sports doesn't care about race. Sports doesn't care about color. Sports cares about performance. And if it cared about race and everything else, okay, maybe we would find more Chinese people in the thug leagues known as the NBA or the NFL. Because if a Chinese 5'7" skinny guy could compete, he would be there. Because, hey, it's racist if we don't have enough of these 5'7" Chinese guys, right? That would be very racist. Or we need to put more 5'7" guys as wide receivers in the NFL because, you know, we don't want to be seen as racist. And, of course, that's all a bunch of baloney because sports doesn't care. And when you look at sports like NASCAR, Bubba Wallace is basically a token black guy. He's token. He sucks. I think in 7 years, he's led maybe 17 or 34 laps, something like that. In other words, he's a token black guy that sucks at what he does. He's there precisely because of his black privilege. It's not because he knows how to perform. Now, does he have shitty cars? Well, perhaps. But why would you give a good car to a shitty driver anyways? The guy sucks. He just doesn't know how to perform. And then he's the guy going to tell the entire Southern community through NASCAR what it is that the South can and cannot accept anymore inside of their sporting venues. One black guy, he's gonna decide. Now, as far as I'm concerned, screw this guy. Drill him out. Get rid of him in any way you want. I don't even care anymore. In an era where the left doesn't care what they do to you and how they cancel you and go about destroying you, this Bubba Wallace, you go ahead and be racist to this asshole. Excuse my language, but go ahead. Because he was sure being racist to you. He was imposing himself on you. Go ahead and call him what you want. You want to call him a monkey? Go ahead. You want to throw a banana on his car? Go ahead. Do whatever you want. Because you know what? It doesn't matter how polite you are to these people. They're still going to go after you. They don't care. They don't care about anything but their own selfish way. And in this way, they sound Jewish, don't they? Because nobody cares about anything but what's good for Jews. This guy, and then he claims he's got a noose. There's a noose hanging from his door. Well, the more people break this down, it ain't a noose. So, of course, first I went public with this thing. But this is how stupid these people are. The guy sitting there cracking his knuckles outside the door. Seriously, you can see him crackling. And they're calling it a white supremacy thing, and they fire the guy. Seriously. Because he's basically cracked. I can never do that. I hated to crack my knuckles anyways. But I know people, they'll do that. You know, they'll crack their knuckles. And it kind of looks like you're doing the okay sign, you know. And you're just cracking your knuckles. And a bunch of black people are like talking about, oh, this racist supremacist. Oh, look at that white racist guy. Never mind that he was probably, not Italian. He was probably Mexican. But this Bubba Wallace, you know, he then goes, says, you know, there's a noose hanging from his door at his garage. And now everybody basically is saying, dude, this is basically like Jesse Smollett Light. There was no noose. It was basically just a handle to pull the garage door down. How stupid is that? Again, we are dealing with a level of stupidity. And it's not that it's stupid, but we're actually allowing the idiots of our community, the absolute morons, the lacking in any social grace whatsoever, to decide for all of us the direction of our society. Who the hell is a Bubba Wallace to tell everybody what they can and can't do? I'm serious. At this stage, if Bubba Wallace wants to play the race card, let him have it. Let them have it. And if they kick you out, so what? Because NASCAR as an organization said they don't care about your culture anyway. So why should you care about supporting them anymore? How stupid. Again, it's just pure stupidity. The NFL, another example of just pure stupidity. They're going to make what? I heard like this Colin Kaepernick. They're going to make like a monument to him. And what about this idea of destroying history? Why is it that it's only white history that's getting destroyed? Why are we not destroying Jewish history? Why are we not taking down anything and everything that is historical relative to the Jewish people in America? Why, for instance, do we allow and tolerate a Holocaust museum, this despicable thing that Jews want to impose on our societies when it's our grandfathers or great-grandfathers who were forced to fight a bogus war on behalf of the Jewish people to create a lie, and then they want to extort money from us. They want to imprison us for talking. They don't want us to have a job if we don't agree with them, and that somehow this is supposed to be tolerated? See, we've gotten to the point now where essentially nothing is sacred. Nothing is sacred at all. Now we should have played the King part, the Sean King, like the clip we played earlier. Sean King is even saying, hey, look, if it has anything to do with white people, and mind you, Sean King is a white guy pretending to be a black guy, basically it has to be destroyed. We're at a situation now where everything is actually anti-white, and it's in the open, and it's not even being hidden anymore. Think about that. It's not even being hidden anymore. There is no going back in what has been opened up here. If you talk about the genie being opened, the lantern being opened, you're not going to put the genie back in the bottle. It's not going back, folks, because the amount of hatred that the black community, the Jewish community, the LGBTQ community, the Antifa community, many of these seriously idiotic kids have shown is that unless they can be defeated and controlled at the ballot box, an overwhelming force brought to bear against them, they are going to burn your places down. They are going to pillage your communities. They are going to destroy like locusts, literally, every ounce of history as they kind of go across the nation. Think about that. These aren't people. They're stupid. They are complete animals. We are dealing with locusts. Locusts, everybody. There's no difference. The locust, do you think it really thinks about what it's doing? You think it has the brains? No, it just goes about and destroys everything because that is what the locusts do. And all this idea of anti-racism protests, again, it's such stupid because it's the most racist, bigoted movement we've ever witnessed in the broad open daylight here. People used to say, you know, stop race mixing back in the 1950s. But it ain't like we see today with the anti-white hatred here. There's no way you're going to convince me that using the term anti-racist even makes any sense. Again, stupid people. We have entered the realm of sheer stupidity, plain and simple. And really, when you want to break it down, we're looking at the destruction of society. And it's not going to be able to put that back together all that easily. Number one, the number one objective from the Frankfurt School was the creation of racism offenses. That's one of their first objectives. Create this idea of racism offenses. And what do we see? What do we witness here? Just being a white person nowadays means that you're supposed to apologize to a black person? You're supposed to go down and kiss his feet? Is that what's this? Well, yeah, privilege. That's of course that's an offense. You can't have privilege, right? You can't work hard. You can't support your family. No. You're gonna have to be taxed to death to support some black family who's basically just too stupid to actually go do anything productive, anyways. But hey, he needs more bling. He doesn't have enough bling. His teeth aren't gold enough. You need a couple more gold teeth, right? Another one is this idea of continual change to create confusion. So people should be aware. This is a tactic. Another is the teaching of sex and homosexuality to children. These are stated objections of the Frankfurt School. We are actually right now under a very full court press of the Frankfurt School. So in short, think of it this way. From an intelligence point of view, somebody sent me an email. And it said, look, somebody's now starting to compile an Antifa database. And they sent me the email. And in the email has the link of the website that has the Antifa database. So essentially, we are starting to see who these people are, the real names, where they have been found operating, etc. But another issue is the Frankfurt School itself. The records of the Frankfurt School, the people coming out of the Frankfurt School, this should be completely itemized. It's a huge task, but it could be done. Every single person coming out of this university, the Frankfurt system, should be cataloged. Wow, we're out of time already? Okay. Well, that's the show, everybody. Join me Saturday. Again, Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Political Era, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. And see you later. Thanks so much, everybody. Good night.
Revolution Radio.
Most guys freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The gut is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. Neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Now do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio! Radio!
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Ravens.